football on Off the Ball.
He's played in the stadium just last week. I think he scored as well. He will have great memories, and he must be walking around like an absolute peacock.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
So we are really looking forward to it. We're happy to be there. We have kind of nothing to lose, everything to prove.
We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Kicked by Sanson and goes Aldridge and Hutton! 1-0! And Ray Hutton has got the breakthrough! And a little cross in there and it's come through here! McAteer! Has been agony this afternoon! Now there's ecstasy!
Do our best. We'll put them under pressure.
Somebody said you're only as good as your last game. I think we are on a good moment.
I will be here as long as I feel that the people want me.
Forward it goes again by Kinsella. Quinn heads on. Oh, surely this time for Keane. And Ireland do it. Here's one of Keane. Yes!
That momentum. We have belief, we have the people with us, supporters with us.
Is that it? Have we seen the moment pass when it might have happened? Let's hope not. Houlihan. Inviting his center!
Green goes out.
Yeah! Robbie Brady brings us all to our feet in Lille.
Amber Barrett takes it on her end step. Barrett for Ireland, into the area. Toll puts it, goal! History is made by the Republic of Ireland. The entire Irish team run to celebrate.
Another inviting ball in there on the crack. Ball. It's in! Katie McCabe has put Ireland in front. Straight to the corner kick. What about that? What a start for the Irish.
Last throw of the dice. It's all on this from Queenie Kelleher.
Kelleher launches the ball into the box.
Seen anything like it.
It's the Sheriff Street boy, it's the Belvedere boy who has done it for the Republic of Ireland.
Absolutely remarkable, right at the end.
Noah Quinn, Robbie Keane against exactly Germany back in the day.
Barrow!
This means the world to me, my family's here.
And Ireland!
I've no voice left.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Thursday, the 26th of March, 2026. You had it circled. You had it circled for months now, but here it is, finally. That was the tremendous work of our dear colleague, Emma Carroll, bringing that montage. A bit spine-tingling now. Adrian there, a second ago, reported having pins and needles. I thought it was himself. There was a medical emergency.
No.
You're just reading from the comments. It's a bit different, this show today, right? As you can see already in the running order. I'm going to go through Deep Breath, who we have on the show this morning. We have Matthew Brennan. We have Roddy Collins, we have Andy Reid, we have Stephen Doyle, we have Phil Egan, we have Peter Coonan, he of Love Hate fame, David Wilson, Ben Symes, Owen Sheehan, Stuart Byrne, and possibly more besides. Dara, we do well and truly have the big names here because we have Gigi in an unusual position, centre mid.
Centre mid, yeah.
Today.
Also the way and that's framed, it looks like he's...
You're a little boy, little boy in school. And you are here for part one, of course. Because you were going to join the party.
I am, yeah. I just saw the scenes last night and was like, that video of the two lads getting their heads banged in the pub. I was like, oh, I need some of that in my life.
You immediately booked the tickets. Immediately.
Oh, I got to be there.
There's no A-B testing this morning. It's right. The real deal. It's Adrian, Big Dog, Barry. We had to get you in.
in the spirit of the pins and needles, bum-ba-bum-ba-bum. Oh my God, the comments come through so quickly. I can't keep
read them all out. Like,
one here. Good luck with that, keeping up with them today.
I'm severely, just waking up, Mr. Un Baguette, bonjour. Just waking up in Prague, severely hungover, we go again for breakfast.
Yeah, the I don't expect any of the crew that we sent to Prague to be available for the breakfast show, even though they were booked for it well in advance and warned that we're going to need them.
What percentage of those names that I read out do you think will all be on?
Zero. Stuart Byrne is a professional. After that, I'm like, lads.
Oh, well, Roddy will be on because he has to plug a show. Roddy. He has to plug a show tonight, so he'll be on.
People not in Prague, and the people not in Prague, and I mean exclusively our team in Prague.
Yeah.
Oh, do I expect them to be croaking on the mic in an hour? Maybe. We'll see.
It's here, DSN. It's IRE versus CZE, I'd say it'll be, will it?
Yeah.
All right, look, we've been asking all week.
Get that out of the way nice and early.
Oof. I've been asking all week, right? It changes all the time. I'm gonna start with you. So how are you feeling now? Day of?
Class. Cannot
You're
wait.
Feeling class?
Yeah.
We're going to win a normal time?
No. I think it's at least going to extra time, if not penalties.
We will prevail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you, comes down to penalties. We have a penalty expert in goals.
The ebb and flow. I'm in the just that bit where it's like, oof, you know, all week the blood surges and you're like, yeah, we're going to do it. And then you have that, the check, the C-H-E-C-K, where it's like, oh, no, might not happen. I'm just in the bit of that at the minute. And that's fine. It'll come. It'll go. And also, it makes no odds. How we feel makes no odds in the outcome.
Of course, yeah. That's the worst part about the anxiety,
exactly.
Isn't it? You can't control it, but you want to control it so desperately much.
Couldn't sleep properly last night. Couldn't get sleep.
Oh, you're so excited. Legs going 90,
I'd say. Woke up in the middle. No.
Is that excitement or anxiety?
All of the above. Yeah. Like, it's proper big time.
Yeah, it is.
I know, yeah.
It's proper big time.
Could you finish the sentence for me? It's the biggest since...
Well, Stewie said since 88, and 2002 was going to be bigger than all of that because we had one of the best players in the world, and then obviously that got taken away from us. And so, you know, and that totally ruined that World Cup for me. Everybody's talking about, like, the Germany moment is great and everything, but it was still like half-hearted for me. I couldn't actually ever get back with that team because of what had happened.
Mm.
Whereas, and the Denmark game, a 1-1, I've talked about this before, the anthems, the 10 minutes before kickoff, the Aviva was rocking. We started so well and then we got annihilated. But up to that point, like, if that team had gone to the World Cup, I think we'd have had a good time. But I do think so much has happened to football in between. Like, the organisation needs it, the people need it, the team needs it. I don't know, did you hear Hamer with Ben last week? And he was talking about Stephen Kenny, unprompted, about how he'd given a lot of these players the opportunity to play. And I was like, this guy, he gets it. He's been around to all the League of Ireland clubs, and it took him a while to get it, but he got it. And all of that coming together, the Euros in 2 years in Ireland, the opportunity for corporate Ireland to row in behind. I was, my daughter has just started soccer, and there was like 50 under-11s and under-12s in the East Wall on the other night in the rain. I'm like, this sport needs something to get behind, to rally behind. Mm. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. And so that's what's at stake, you know? It's at stake for Czechia, keep getting that wrong. Like, their country has fallen out of love with this football team, we're told. Mm-hmm. And yet they're like a storied football nation that used football through decades of oppression as a means of expression. You know, they're a brilliant country that has artistic, photographic literature, musical history that it rivals us, right? And, you know, any other day I'd be like, oh, you guys, I really hope you qualify for the World Cup, but it ain't going to happen if we do it. And even if we win tonight, we're not guaranteed to go through. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, bring it on, because it's like, it's unbelievably important.
It is amazing, isn't it? The feeling around this, and it's a semi-final.
Yeah, it is a semi-final.
But it feels like the moment.
It's a semi, yeah.
It feels like a cup, you know? Final though, yeah.
Also, the football matters more than everything else. Like, not to, you know, if the Irish rugby team win a World Cup, it'll be great and we'll all enjoy it.
Yes. Right?
But the football team...
Yeah.
Adrian?
Well, as somebody who was in Italy in 1990... About August time after the tournament was over on holiday.
Right. That was extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
What a live review. That's amazing.
I don't know. Like, 2-1 is really where I think this is going. I don't think there'll be extra time. I think that we've obviously proven now we can score goals. Hopefully they'll come from the obvious source.
Yeah.
Maybe some others will start and we'll knock a couple in there as well. We've also shown that we can concede early goals and we can keep clean sheets, so anything you want from that category, absolutely fill in the blanks. But I do think that, like, there is a strong possibility of conceding here, but like, no panic, I suppose, the thing. A bit like Jar, I woke up actually Monday morning, I woke up and I thought, oof, there's something a bit different about this week.
Geez,
we're here.
But you know what, we knew this was going to be the case for months leading into it. We knew this, right? And then it actually arrives and it still feels bigger again.
I never thought it was going to come around. That was kind of, you know? It was
just that there would be some more bad stuff. Like, a lot of bad stuff has happened. Our main central midfielder and, at the start of the campaign, our best striker are gone. And we're still feeling like, no, it's grand. We can deal with that.
And the man who assisted the winner is gone for this game, Liam Scales.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that is a factor. Jeez, I mean, listen, we've all rewatched it a million times, but I watched the highlights of the Hungary game. Full game, not available, or not that I could find,
there's
at least.
I think there's 10 minutes on YouTube.
There's a 10-minute highlight package. And just rewatching that, like, I mean, just the unlikeliness of the whole thing. The desire out of him has been spoken about, but not enough, really, because of the quality of the finish and the desire of the man himself to get there. But, like, that's the two touches there. His reaching over the two Hungarian defenders to get the faintest touches on it to knock it down for another faint touch. Like, there's something beautiful about all that.
We were watching this back the other day, right? Yeah. It was like the referee could have blown his whistle.
For
full time. The ball was cleared and it reaches Kelleher, right? And so there's five and a quarter minutes. Yeah, so Dominic Szoboszlai has a chance to actually...
But I think there was a delay because in commentary, was it Dara?
They were cheating.
He said there'd be 30 minutes to play. Yeah.
Because when you're out of context a few months later, it's like, this game's going to finish here. And then Kelleher does what he does. I mean, Kelleher's fascinating talking about that moment. Was like, because it looks so precise how he finds Scales. And he said he was bricking it about under-hitting or over-hitting that ball in. So he just banked in his technique. And he also talks about that Szoboszlai moment after the goal.
He said
if his ex-Liverpool teammate had taken a shot there, he was pretty sure that was going to go in because he was so nervous. And Szoboszlai, at the last second, faints to cross it in because it's 3 men at the back post and Kelleher collects. And I watched that back, like yourself, Adrian, this week, and there's Nathan Collins does this amazing thing where he doesn't break momentum after Kelleher collects the ball and just continues looking at the fans and just celebrating. And then it's over. And you've been well enough thinking about it.
And you forget Jimmy Dunn should have scored before Parrott scored.
Johnny Kenny.
Yeah, but he should have, yeah.
Johnny Kenny.
Jimmy Dunn in the middle of the celebrations, all right.
He was present.
Brilliant
run. Save, though.
Huh?
On that,
unbelievable save.
That was like Emi Martinez in the World Cup finals.
Phenomenal.
And Adelita was going mad in the middle. Yeah. Like, square it. But he had to go for it near post. Yeah. You know? What time's your flight? Sure.
This morning, yeah.
This morning. Okay, very, very vague there. A man who wasn't so vague about his traffic plans, the complete opposite, actually, was our dear friend Matthew Brennan, who this time yesterday, I think, was live from a T1 in Dublin Airport. He's been many places since. Matthew, good morning.
He's all picture, no sound.
Uh-oh.
You're on mute, Paul.
Uh-oh.
It's only 2026 and you're still on mute. What's going on?
On mute. He's shaking his head. He's not sure. He's like, what is this?
I wouldn't mind that. He looks like a man. He looks like a fresh man.
He's shaking his head.
This is not a hungover individual.
I should be working on that.
Croaky. Croaky.
Matthew Brennan, come in live and clear.
We can.
Yeah, we're good to go. We're good to go.
Right. The lads have muted. That wasn't on my end. And I wouldn't mind. I opened up with a line saying, hopefully, my audio is a little bit better this morning than it was
much better,
one yesterday.
Yeah,
I had to listen back. I had to listen back, and it was. You weren't underestimating the how bad it was, but we got here in the end.
Did you get a championship haircut in the meantime?
Always looking this fresh, Jerry. Right.
Yeah. Listen, we have many people following.
I'm actually up a while.
Do you? Plenty of social media followers, of course, who would have seen your journey on Instagram. But for those who haven't, talk us through your last 24 hours. It's been quite a lot, as the kids say.
Yeah, it has. I started off, obviously, in Dublin yesterday when I was talking to you in the airport. Went from there to Newcastle, smooth enough journey, packed with Irish fans. bit of a rough landing.
I heard this. What happened at the landing?
Yeah. No, like, I mean, you'd have to ask the pilot, because I'm not entirely sure, but it was fairly rough. Like, it was just a heavy landing, but it was grand, like, you know, par for the course. And then landed in there, bit of a kind of a delay, not a delay, but what you call like a layover for 3 quarters, an hour or so, onto a flight to Wrocław in Poland. Hung around there for an hour or two, and then on a actually probably the longest train journey I've ever been on, four and a half hours. It was grand. It was actually very enjoyable, and Irish fans there along the way, as this man insists on parking his van up directly beside him, if you can hear that. But it was good. I got into Prague last night at about 10 o'clock or so, I'd say, so 18 hours in total, but I certainly wasn't the only one travelling that route, and probably even some more bizarre routes alongside it too.
We've seen all these pockets, Matthew, over there, including from yourself and many, many others that are obviously out there en masse from the various fans around the city, and it looks like the entire place is taken over, but obviously it's really hard to get a sense of that from these things. The Irish bars are jammed, they're focusing in on the Irish fans, but like, you know, Johnny Alien arrives into Prague this afternoon. What's the... What is the actual visual of how many Irish fans are actually around?
So we're staying pretty central in Prague, I mean, in a couple of my minutes, and we walk from the train station, which I'd imagine if people are coming in from elsewhere, like some of the guys who I met yesterday who were spending the night in Poland, they'll be coming that way. And it's quiet enough as you leave the train station, but as soon as you get anywhere near the square, it is as you see on social media, rarely. Something actually does match up to what you see on social media, and it was packed to the rafters last night everywhere. And it's in terms of density of Irish pubs, there's a serious amount of Irish pubs over here. So all of which were difficult to get into last night with the amount of people that were there. But
is that why you're so fresh, or were you dedicated to the role, Matthew?
No. We got involved in. The occasion, of course, but nothing too out of pocket, you know. I had to be up this morning. We, amongst the chaos of our journey over, we forgot to buy water. So I was said I'd tip out this morning and have a stroll around and pick up some water to keep us going until later on. But it's very quiet here at the minute, naturally, as you'd expect. It's obviously we're an hour ahead over here, so it's 9:15, and I've been strolling around here, I'd say, since 7:30 or so, and I'd say calm before the storm has never been more appropriate. It's very quiet.
Yeah, you've made Johnny Alien feel very welcome anyway. And possibly Jared too. You'll be joining Matthew very soon. Jared, can you feel it? You're more excited now talking to someone on the ground?
Interested to hear about you, whether or not the ticket hunt has been successful. Have you begun it properly? Are you making peace with the fact you're not going to this game? What's the story?
I mean, look, I would absolutely love to be going to the game, but I've absolutely made peace with the fact that that's highly unlikely. I came across a lot of people yesterday. I was talking to Owen last night on the show, and talking to people on the planes, on the trains, in between stuff in the airports, all that sort of stuff. I didn't come across one person who had a ticket for the game. And I also didn't come across one person who was particularly disappointed by that. I think people are happy enough to just be here for the day that's in it. You know, I'm sure they would all love to be going to the game, but there's a lot of talk of a serious amount of Irish fans getting themselves into the home end. So
yeah,
there's definitely potential for a few tickets to be floating around. So I'll keep an ear out, but I don't think. I'll have a look, but I'm not going to.
We've been asking you about the price you'd pay, right? And there is a warning. We were talking about this pre. The Irish fan liaison officer has said, don't be buying PDFs because it's more than likely a copy of one. But on the ticket reseller sites, where at one point somebody said the price was 60 grand and then we were like, oh, it's 700, and then it was 500. Now it's 280.
That's mad, that, yeah.
276 for the lower tier.
Would you roll the dice at 280?
What's the, like, I don't know the ins and outs of it. Like, is if I buy that ticket for €276, can I just walk in and watch the game? Is that how that operates? Or is there a chance I get there and they go, you're not getting in?
Just don't be wearing your jersey.
Yeah, but like when they turn around to him and check and go, oh, hey, welcome to the game. Are you looking forward to it?
Grunt in a knowing way, according to Cullum here. He made pals with some Czech fellas in the pub. And he grunted and nodded.
They were talking. They
definitely won't be onto that.
They were talking to me in Czech, and I timed it perfectly and went, huh, yeah. They kept the talking.
I know.
So they were like, yeah, definitely, mate. Do you know?
But I did want to ask that, Matthew, but you sounds like, obviously with all your travels yesterday, you're not there that long. You might be able to find out a bit more today, but just that bit around, I have a ticket. It's not for the away end. What are my chances of getting in?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's sort of what I was asking myself there. Yeah. I actually don't know. Like I had heard initially about the ID stuff and that, the messaging from people was that don't bother trying to get them because you're fighting a losing battle there really in terms of getting in. But it seems as though that has changed, and I wonder if that's purely because they have struggled to really sell this place out.
Yeah.
Like, on the check front, you know.
Get that Prague Hibernian fella from the show last night to. To do the negotiation, sure. Although apparently he can't even order a beer in Czech, according to his pal. So, but his buddy must be able to negotiate this for you. So,
but you'd also want to be like if you're going to the trouble of going over there, as Matthew has and many others, right? You've got your green stuff with you. You're going into the stadium. You're going to have to bite the bullet there and leave the jersey somewhere. There's no point in trying to sneak it in the jocks or whatever.
No,
it's not happening. Like,
no, that's fine.
Bite the bullet.
Yeah,
it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's the singing.
Where are you there? Are you just off the main square? Or where are you?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. I couldn't tell you precisely your location, but just because not because I'm trying to hide on, but I actually don't know.
I know this.
Places, but there's cathedrals around it. Actually, it's a cliche thing. Everyone says it about Prague, but I haven't been here before, but it is, it's quite nice. It's absolutely freezing. We'll add that.
Is it?
How is it?
Yeah.
But, it's crisp. Like, it's a crisp morning, but...
Yeah. Your mammy's watching at home. Put a coat on you.
She is worried sick about you.
What is going on? Yeah. And no Under Armour or nothing. What's going on?
Well, I was intending on just wearing the jersey, but that had to be written off fairly quickly.
If you knew anybody heading over hypothetically today, Matthew, your Staro Pramans, your Bud Vars, what's the any recommendations there for somebody looking over to let the handbrake off for the afternoon?
Staro Praman was my beer of choice last night, and it was decent. I didn't venture outside of that.
Rocket fuel.
It's a safe bet.
Is it?
Safe pair of hands.
I think so.
6.5-7% in. I'll be like, stay away. Yeah. Get water down.
I've gone through a serious amount of water this morning, but I think I'm fairly fresh after my few Star Pramen last night and a lot of travelling. So I think they'd be all right.
Do you know what? There's about diagonally across from you there, I think, from where you're sitting, there's a great Irish bar, right? Just off the square. And I can't remember. It's the other side. There?
Yeah, it's called Waxy something, is
that's
it? Waxy.
The one. That's the one, yeah.
Waxy Dar.
That's a great spot, right?
Yeah.
Now, have you anywhere in mind? Have you a plan?
No, and this is the thing. A lot of people we met last night bumped into, we're talking about going and getting in somewhere for 1 o'clock in the day, 2 o'clock in the day, either, to make sure that they're in a decent spot for the game. Like,
too early.
I thought the same, but that was the talk, and it was the general consensus that if you're looking to get in somewhere, you're taking a big risk there as far as actually getting to see the game. But at the same time, as you say, there's loads of Irish bars around, but that one did catch my eye. Just I thought the
Waxy names. O'Connor's looked it up.
Oh, it's not the dark. Okay, no. Right. Wow,
it's just off the square. It's good. You like it? Intimate. Yeah. Intimate.
Un Baguette says, Mr. Un Baguette says he paid €32 for an away end ticket. Carl Daly says, me mate got two tickets for €560 each.
That's, they're coming down. They're coming down. There's a couple of websites, Ticombo and the other one is Viagogo.
Viagogo is popular. It's not bad. Like, it's not terrible for the occasion that it is. Like, in,
you're talking yourself really into it. Go for it.
I don't think I'd talk myself over it. I was just an acceptance that this was going to be
impossible. I think Jared's saying too expensive, you know? Matthew. That's the inference that I'm taking from that.
Yeah, well, listen.
You can give him the BC code there, Adrian.
What's the plan today? What's the schedule?
I'm going to head back to the...
He's going drinking. Did you not just hear him? He's going drinking at 1 o'clock.
But I love his schedule. Go for it.
And then I'm going to go and get a big breakfast.
John Hartson here.
A big breakfast, we'll take it from there. See where the day takes us.
What sort of a brick foster now would you be looking at?
Some crunchies.
No, I would say just an old full Irish, something like that. I wouldn't
just an old full. Waxy O'Connor's is getting hit. I'd say the amount of full Irish that Waxy O'Connor is going to serve out today. Now
they do it well.
Oh yeah, we were in one of the pubs last night, and I felt terribly sorry for the people behind the bar, because I don't think they expected what they got last night, as far as the amount of people there and the amount of drink being bought. They ran out of glasses. They ran out of vodka, I think, at one point, for some of the lads were telling us. So it's you can imagine how busy it is over here. And I'd say you're right. It's
the heady mix.
This out this morning.
The heady mix of black pudding and fart. That'll be the smell of the morning across the Irish pubs of Prague.
You didn't see those lads getting their heads bet off to Matthew, did you?
I can't say I did now, Adrian, no.
The fellas on the two lads with the old war hat helmets on them, and they were No, I didn't.
I did see some good stuff. That there was a lot of very funny kind of posters with like Ireland flags with Hemer Haggardson printed on it, like you've just been flossed by the dentist, and Troy Parrott's, you've just been pecked by the parrot, and all this sort of stuff. So there's people have gotten creative with their
The chant you're trying to get going yesterday.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, the one that the guy did and sent it to us. Ah, we'd have that, do we? We have it somewhere, I'd say.
Maybe.
It was yesterday we were going to do it.
Maybe, yeah. It's not bad, you know. It's not bad.
Come here, I have a question for you. what's the... You were half raving about the Waxy O'Connor full Irish there.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's good, like, it's just, you know, because when you're abroad, you don't know what kind of quality of sausage you're going to get. Like, well, you're going to get a sausage rasher and black and white pudding, toast, bit of beans, if you're partial to it.
Hash brown?
If you want. It's there. I think it was there, and they do, do you know what? It's a great city for coffee. For this time of day, it's very good.
Actually, that's a good idea. That'll do me the world of good now.
Yeah, it's very good.
Go coffee hunting,
All right, before we leave you go, what's going to happen, Matthew? Like, I'm just going to ask this all throughout the show, because I don't know if people's feelings are changing as we're approaching, but what do you think?
I think we're going to win. No, I think we're going to win, but how that goes about it, I don't know. I think there's possibilities for anything to happen. That's very much sitting on the fence, but it could be a drab, nil-nil, tight nil-nil, nothing really happening, and we get a late one, or we could go down early. And like, I feel like this is one. These teams are on a very similar level, I'd say, and I wouldn't be surprised with any outcome, to be totally honest. But I'm very intrigued by these reports about Harvey Vail potentially starting. I'd be very keen to see how that lineup looks with him in it, and go make yourself a hero if he does start.
All right, well, hopefully the rockiest part of your journey has already happened, that landing in Newcastle, which I do want to hear more about.
You've been on that. Anybody who's been on a Ryanair flight knows exactly what he's talking about.
I've been on several Ryanair flights. It's just quite smooth. It's quite smooth.
I know, but there's also like 50% of them are.
It's a lean forward. It's a come back up, and then it's another bounce back down again. And
you know it.
Who was that manager that still probably got asked? Why did you lose today? But the other team scored more goals. Do you remember there's a famous clip that does the rounds?
Is it not Liam Brady?
Matthew gave you a nice smack down there at the start.
What?
You want to ask the pilot?
Well, I mean, that's true to a point, like, but I also, I wanted a feeling of what it was like, you know, as a passenger. And Matthew decided to blame it on the driver, the driver of the plane.
You did obviously get the long straw by going to the Prague, but you've also missed out on all the Easter eggs that Cadbury sent in. So everybody's doing the live shows for Cadbury, because they'll be gone by the time you get back. I'm not going to, we'll put some aside for you. We won't.
You can add that to your match ticket on the BC, Matthew.
Yeah, I'll add a few corona on top of it.
If you were the pilot of that plane, let us know. We'd love to have you on, chat about that landing. Otherwise, Matthew, all the best.
Come on.
Enjoy it.
Good luck.
Thanks for hopping on.
Cheers, lads.
Enjoy the breakfast. Document it. Wow, the comments are flooding in.
Wow. Please give us the best there. DK, mainstay of the YouTube comments.
Yeah.
Finally, match day arrives, and the big dog is in the OTB house. Adrian, who's your daddy, Barry?
A lot of calls for Adrian to come back for the quiz, but he's just, he's a coward.
The problem with Adrian
is...
Address the comments now.
I've seen the standard of the quiz. When I was on the quiz, the beauty of the quiz, right?
Guy, like, he seems like a nice guy.
Sorry, you can't talk about the quiz here.
I've gone on quizzes several times.
I also haven't finished my point here.
When I was on
the quiz, the kind of secret sauce of the quiz was having a bit of crack. The secret sauce of the quiz now has been like a unbelievable sports nerd. So,
you're just jealous of Arthur.
You couldn't compete with Arthur.
Yeah, but
you look like a mug. He's Man City at the prime. He's Dublin in the prime.
Arthur's USP why you gotta go. Is the knowledge.
He's Kilkenny in the prime.
People like you for your entertainment value.
I'm glad you're not involved in the Irish squad, because we wouldn't be in this qualifier. If someone like you had that mentality in that squad.
I'd be picked in every squad. He'd be good to have around the squad, Darragh. That's but he'd never start. There. He wouldn't be in the 11, you see.
Are we all kind of swiping on each other because we're all a bit nervous?
No, I'm not swiping at anybody. Have you not? I'm complimenting the quality of the quiz, and I have no place in it.
You
should go on it.
I've been on it.
Yeah, but once, maybe. No, that's 7 years.
How long are you here? I would say...
How long are you around this place?
At least...
Years around this place, waffling, as Bertie would say.
At least 7 times. Do you know who's been on this show at least 7 times? Roddy Collins.
Aye.
Roddy, good morning. How are you?
Seven.
At least. At least. Minimum.
700, Roddy.
He's done the last 15 years, lads.
At least.
Down in that festival.
All the festivals, Roddy. He's only available when there's someone to drive him around in a little golf cart. It's like, you should see the rider.
Me and the Paul Harris fella bumping into the electric picnic.
Yeah, what do you think? What's going to happen?
Oh, you never know. It's going to be a cliffhanger. Every emotion we're going to go through, because it's a one-off situation. The stakes are so high, you know. And, I mean, people are talking about different selections. I wouldn't even go into selections. It's the mentality of the group of players going in to handle every different scenario that's going to be thrown up to them. There's going to be highs, there's going to be backs to the walls, there's going to be game management, you know, there's going to be a hostile atmosphere. It's just, whatever the whole, you know, packet that comes at you, you have to keep calm, keep alert, and keep focused and be on your game. And it's going to be a long night, and everybody's talking about Troy Parra. Well, I'd prefer a nil all around the 90th minute, to be quite honest with you. You know, and even if it went to extra time, if we don't concede, the most important thing, obviously, if we don't concede, I'd back my house on us to go through on penalties because of Kelleher. And as I said, it's going to be a grueler. I'm looking at everything in the airports going out, and it brings you back to Italia 90. I was there myself, and it was a different scenario. But I don't think people are realise. You know, we got 2 great results, the last previous results, and it was not all down to Troy Parra. However, he was the catalyst in finishing off the limited amount of chance that we created. So people need to come down, and it's like, as I say, going into a boxing ring, get that gum shield in and be prepared at certain times. It's not going to go your way to bite down on it. Dig into the depth of your boots. But keep that concentration. That is vital. Keep the concentration levels. And hopefully we come out the other end. Please God.
You're come this evening, Roddy, right? You remember the Katie Taylor video that Andy Farrell had streamed into the Lions? Do you remember that a few months ago? There was this big deal
about how it inspired them.
I think it was around the second test. So Hamer rings you this morning, Roddy, and he says, listen, I need 30 seconds, 45 seconds of Roddy goodness. I'm going to play it to the team in the dressing room beforehand. How are you G'ing them up?
Well, I would say I wouldn't have to G them up. That's the opposite, quite the opposite. It's not G'ing them up is the problem. It's keeping them down a peg. You know, because it's no good going out there and flying for 20 minutes and then the crowd, they weather the storm and then their crowd takes over. Maybe our crowd takes over. I would say, lads, be calm, be focused, be alert, be ready for the first 20 minutes from them. And if they did score in the first 5-10 minutes, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, because it's going to be an onslaught at some stage. And if it comes to first 5 or 10 and they score, game achieved, or sorry, plan achieved for them, early goal, crowd on our side, still going to be a long night for them. So what I would say to the lads, I'd say, boys, this is a magnificent situation. We didn't see ourselves arriving in. It's a bonus territory. Get out. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Express yourselves. You know, this can be the catalyst of your whole career turning point. There's players there that might accept we're championship players. And that's my say, there's championship players. But there's always a turning point of somebody that go, no, hold on, I'm a little bit better than that. And tonight could be that night for one or two individuals. But as a team, no one is going to get a 10 out of 10 tonight. So if everyone gets a 7, and if someone's having a 5 or a 6, you dig them out. Mm. First 15 minutes, someone's having a few mistakes, dig them out. Stick together. This game is going to be won and lost from the bench, in my opinion. It's how the manager, and he seems to be a calm fella, not great time for him, how to get through the first 20 minutes, then how he assesses what they're going to do in the next 20 minutes. Then another 5 minutes before half-time, there can be a lull depending on the score. Then how you come out the second half, will he make changes to address something that he might have seen positive in the first half to go for it? The second half of the second half, that's when the tenseness will come in. Do you throw in your experienced players that you have on the bench? I don't know what your selection is. And say, right, let's get this to the final whistle without conceding a goal. That's vital. And then the pressure comes right on top of them. And then when that happens, you have to educate your players. When the pressure comes on top of them, you're winning. You might not be winning on the scoreboard, but psychologically you're winning. So let's step up a gear. Let's put the foot in the throat. And let's go for it at some stage. You're going to have to go for it at some stage. And also I would tell them, fellas, if Quivey and Keller doesn't get injured, please God, and it goes to full distance, we're favourites to go through. So you give a big picture so that at any given time within the 90 minutes plus, there's no mindset of, oh, Jesus, that's the end of that. And we've showed that we have the character, the resilience, and the ability to go to the last. Like, they talk about margins. You can't describe margins. I was coaching today of the third goal against Hungary. The scales header. He stretched every sinew to get a glance on it. Troy Parrott was on his way. Stood on the end of his boot. You highlight that. That could come in the last 10 seconds of extra time. You've got to be prepared to not ever, ever give in, drop your concentration, or believe it's lost at any given time.
Are you not that bothered about who makes up the midfield and who supports Troy Parrott?
No. I'm more concerned about our back five, goalkeeper and back four, being solid. Whatever happens in front of them will be a bonus. You know, team selection will come. I mean, you might go for the two sitters in front of the team and go, not negative, because Troy Parrott, you know, he doesn't play his back to goal. You can play him in from a distance off the shoulder. Ideally, it's nice to get the ball up the pitch, which we will do at certain times. So I would be more solid in the central midfield starting off. And then you'll find out how the game is going, how they're adapting to it. And then, you know, not too early, but then you go, right, let's go a little bit more adventurous here. Whether you're a goal down or you're nil all, and you think, I think there's an opening here to take this in the 90 minutes or the extra time. Mm. So look, it's going to be all about game management, and different players for different types or different scenarios in the game will dictate the final outcome. So it's a huge night for the manager, a huge night, but he's earned it. He deserves to be in the situation to prove who he is. And that's the way I see that, you know.
You said something interesting there about finishing with your experienced players. And I when you say it like that, it makes a lot of sense. It's like, maybe Robbie Brady comes on with half an hour left to go, and then if we are heading to extra time and penalties, you have a penalty taker on the pitch, but it is somebody with game nous, which actually might lead to him starting the inexperienced players, and he's like happy enough to do that.
So Jared, I'm 100% on that one with you.
Because actually, I've only come to that now that you've said that. Because all week I'm like, well, you don't start the inexperienced players because the occasion is too big for them, and you're running the risk that they are overawed and like, oh, I'm playing international football. But actually, maybe the right thing to do is to have the get them out there, give them 40 minutes, 45 minutes, see how they get on. If they're doing great, give them 60. But if they're not working, you can sit at halftime, you hit the emergency and you go, okay, experienced lads, come on.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you on that one. And the inexperienced players, they won't have the fear. They'll have the enjoyment and the adrenaline be pumping, and they won't bottle it, right? They won't bottle it. Where if you put one in off the bench, it's a huge, bigger pressure on a player to take an experienced player off, put an inexperienced player on to, given that pressure. I'd agree with you on that one. We should be finishing this game, I believe, with the most experienced 11 we can put on that pitch within reason of positional and tactical plan. And, because it's going to come, as I say, if we can get to the 90th thereabouts late in the game and it's still nil all, they're going to have a right goal. There's no doubt about that. And that's when they call on the heavy here, say, right, lads, we can see this one now. You see, you'll know after half time, 50 minutes, 10 minutes into the second half, how it's panning out. It could go pear-shaped. It could go pear-shaped early. We hope not. That's why the key for me is the clean sheet, 100% the clean sheet. And I don't mean that in a negative where we park the bus. I would never believe that. That's not for me. However, not to be too adventurous.
Mm. Roddy, why? This sounds like a really stupid question, but I want to get the emotion of it. Why does this feel so massive? Because we've had occasions like this in the past. We've had Wales and Cardiff. We had the Estonia playoff, wasn't it, before Euro 2012? We've been at the Euros, like 2012 was a disaster, but 2016 we had our moments. But this feels like one of the great weeks of Irish football in the build-up to this match. And to put a damper on it, it's only the semi-final kind of thing. Do you know, if we win this, we have to go again next Tuesday. But why does this feel so absolutely huge, do you think? Is it because of what happened against Hungary?
100% Portugal and Hungary. The momentum is there, the belief is there. The squad is maturing. They are young, a lot of them anyway. It's maturing. And the public can see this, right? And it's not going over the sinks. I know they have a bit of crack, but there's a huge belief that if we get through this one, Denmark back home, it's another one-off. However, it's... How can you say? I'll tell you what, right? It's probably that. We're all probably doing too much of that in front of the Sacred Heart. And we're getting this belief and a unified belief with the whole nation coming from the players, by the way. That makes it so big. And the other side of it is, which I don't want to be, an optimist, pessimist, but a realist. If it doesn't go our way tonight, the belief will still be there in this squad of players for the Euros. So I think it's the start of something good with a good squad of players and a good young players coming through. And I think people just see this. And as I said somewhere last week, it's a massive, massive time for Irish soccer. Like Italian 90 all over again, from the point of view of the renaissance in the League of Ireland, the reignition, I would say, of people's interest that would not be football people is all back. And that's why it sounds so big. The game itself, as I say, when you go to a cup final, forget about the crowd. Forget about the consequence. Forget about everything. Win as if you're playing in the school playground, but with the most intensity you can bring. Bring that. And whatever happens, happens. Because, you see, you can get carried away. We played in a Wembley final once, Millennium Stadium, and I gave the players a walk on the pitch before it. Not one of them looked at the pitch. Not one of them looked at the dimensions of the pitch, the cut of the grass, nothing. They're all looking at the stand, looking up, and in their mind imagining what's going to be like with this 60,000 or 50,000, the crowd, this, that, and all. And then they clicked on the pitch, and that wouldn't probably happen, the experienced players we have, but it could. Yeah. So what we're saying and talking about here, hopefully the players are not hearing any of it. They're in their own little bubble, which I'm sure they are. They're not stupid. They've shown us that. And I think it's a brilliant. I would love, for any of my family or friends, family, kids or whatever, to have the opportunity to be involved in that squad and experienced one of the most unbelievable experiences ever. Good, bad, or indifferent at the end of it. It's a brilliant life experience. And for football, it's a great learning curve. A great learning curve. And hopefully we will be heading to the final in Dublin. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm picturing you there, Roddy, with a box of props just for whatever moment arises that you've got something at hand, the Sacred Heart and others.
No, I have that all week. I had it last night. I done a little thing last night in the house, right? And I lit a candle in front of it. Now, I'm always in White Friar Street lighting candles. You know,
well, a lit candle goes a like long
candles.
Way.
Well, not that many candles. The furry guy goes to White Friar Street.
Come here. You just touch on it there, right? Because I think the thing that everybody's reaching for today is the true picture. And it sort of ties into the new deal that Halgrimson was given, obviously, as well. But the true picture of where this Irish team are at. Because I think that obviously everybody looked at the early parts of the group stages and thought, Jesus, this thing is going backwards. And then we see what happened over the last couple of games. And people are unsure about, was that because of the pressure of the games that were there? And you know, you mentioned the Liam Scales tip on and the stud on the end of Troy Parr's boots. Did that just come about because this, you know, the chips were down and this was something we needed, or is actually this an emergence of a new personality of an Irish team? What is your?
No, it's not. It's the birth of a new personality. You have to go through these times and these emotions to realise that it's possible. People can tell you, "Don't give up," blah blah blah. But when you experience that as a team, it becomes a reality. And then, you know, that adds to the belief, the confidence, everything else. Was it a desperation? I think the Portuguese result was a massive, you know, we were a massive underdogs and would be 9 times out of 10. That was a massive result. That could have been the start of it. And then when you go back to back, you go, hold on a minute, we're no mugs here. We're capable of this, you know, with any given moment. So when you come out with two results like that, you have to be ultra confident in, well, I wouldn't say the ability of the team, in the, how can I say this, in the structure of the unity of the team to get through these moments. I know that may not sound like a football term, but in life terms, this is a life situation that you look around you, he won't let me down. Scared you won't be playing, but someone will get up and stretch. I'll chase down. Troy will put his foot in it. We might bring on Ayida, who'll run down the chance when we need to hold her up. We might have John Kenny if we're pinned in. We need pace over the top. So players aren't stupid. You know, this is the, you know, how can I say? It's like I always go back to boxing because that's my other sport. And how many times have you seen somebody on the ropes late in a title fight, they're finished, boom, they come out and throw a right hand, win a title, knockout. That to them, go back, they sit down on their own. How did I do that? Well, this is how I done it. It's the same with football. It's the same with any walk of life, in my opinion.
Bernard Dunn, 17 years ago this week, against Cordoba in the point, on the canvas twice at least, maybe even three times. And he ends up knocking him out in the 11th round. The point you made there about even if we lose on Friday, because Colin has been making the point all week that there'll be an extreme of response. I actually think I'm more in your camp, Roddy, that even if this team, so long as they don't get spanked, right, that they've gathered people to them over the last 6 months. And the fact that I keep going on about this, but the Euros is going to be in Dublin, that there's an opportunity for this team. Even if they don't make the World Cup, it'll be heartbreak, right? But that we've made so much progress that we're not going back.
Absolutely. And I thought, Jared, the timing of the renewal of the contract release was brilliant. It was brilliant. Great. And, you know, I have to give the FBI credit for that. Great tactical move, because it gives the players going into this game and hopefully the next game the trust, you know, the reality that they're going to be with this man. They have to perform. You know, they have to do that. They have to give everything. We still will anyway. That's a gimme with Irish players. But, and there's a good squad of players and a good young squad. Honestly, I've been saying this, and I have to give a big shout out to Stephen Kenny, because he was the man that developed a lot of these players, whether it was through design or his choice, the way he wanted to manage the team and the detriment of the results. But we're going to bear the fruits of his work now. and in the next few years. So it's a culmination of, you know, the whole lot. But I think we're in a very healthy position. And win, lose, or draw on Friday, it's a massive learning experience for all these players going forward. Whether it goes against us and they go, well, we had done that statement or this statement, they go into the next situation in the Euros. Well, we learned that one, let's go in that one. And it's all about growth. And I think we've a squad of players that's capable of growing. And as you say, with the supporters, they're all behind them. The manager, I think, is a good man. I listen to him. He's very savvy. He's very easy to listen from a football perspective. Doesn't go on with any bull. And I think we're in a good, healthy position.
Tell me, Roddy, are you a good watcher of games?
A good watcher?
Yeah, when you're not at the event itself, no?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. I throw pillows at the telly. I shout. My wife videoed me watching Celtic a couple of weeks ago.
I saw it.
And I looked at him and went, mother of God, I wouldn't do that in the dugout. Lads. Yeah. But, you know, you're at the telly and you're shouting. And it's mostly tactical with me. I see tactical stuff, you know. And, I mean, here am I, but I see it and I go, Jesus, you know. But, no, absolutely horrendous. Ireland, Dublin and Glasgow Celtic, my stomach. And any of my family boxing, my stomach is doing somersaults. I'm actually nervous now. I'm on my way to Mount Joy, by the way.
Yeah, you were saying that to me yesterday. What's happening?
No, I'm not bringing my toothbrush. Now, don't be worrying about me. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm going down to do two different wings with the prisoners. So I'm going to sort out the drones, the phones and all the bottle boy prisoners. I'm going to be putting the bowl steps today. I'm going to have a chat with them. And then tonight, if you don't mind me mentioning,
please,
lads,
do.
Tonight,
please.
Myself and Keith Trace, you've tried this new initiative. I'm trying to rob them of his lads.
Yeah.
To do with the biggest inside screen ever being used in Ireland for a live game.
Ah.
And I want punditry in front of the camera, like the crowd can get involved. They can ask, well, what do you think of so-and-so? And this is a new initiative, you know. And maybe News Talk might sponsor one of them and come with us. Jerry, you and the lads come in. Aidan, come up and, you know, yourself, do a little bit on the stage. But it's something I believe in. It came in with the Wimbledon project years ago. And I sat and had a meeting with the people that wanted to do it. They were going to do the live games and blah, blah, blah. And it never happened. So I said, right, I'm going to have a go at it myself. So myself with a promotions company are forced. Our maiden voyages tonight, lads. So,
well, best of luck with it.
Yeah. Yourself, Keith Tracy, Al Foran, and Willow White, is it?
RTE won't give me any punditry. Verge won't give me any punditry. So, you know the old saying, get out and do it yourself. So I'll do it yourself. And I know what the answer to. They can't sack me.
Where's this on, Roddy?
The Bonnington Hotel. And can I just raffle or something off five pairs of tickets? Can I?
Go for it, Roddy. Yeah. I think you just did.
Yeah, but a question. You ask a question.
Colin's the king of questions.
On the spot, question. Like, a question.
A question to the listeners.
All right.
I'm not good at this. Okay,
Who scored the winner for Ireland against Wales in Cardiff in 2017?
He was on the show yesterday.
All right.
I'll calm down here. I want to get rid of these tickets. Who scored the last hat trick for Ireland? That's the question. That's the
there
question.
We go. There.
Do you know the answer? Yeah. Do you know the answer? You do, yeah. Yeah. Great.
I do, yeah.
All right.
087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number to enter if you want tickets for Roddy's gig tonight in the Bonnington. Roddy, that was class.
Nice one.
Enjoy it.
And whoever the winners are, I'll greet them at the door. Just give them my number.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Come on, Rod.
Enjoy, Mountjoy.
I've a guest for us. For 9:30.
You do, Aidan? You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep it
handy for producers to know. Embrace and make it happen. Irish Independent. Lift our country, lift our people. The Irish Daily Mail says, Fortuna favours the brave, says Mirror Sport. Gates of Eden are open to settled Ireland, says the Irish Examiner. Checky or Law is my favourite this morning.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Where is that?
Good. On the Sun.
The Sun. DSN is back.
Rupert Murdoch. Do you think Murdoch? Is he up with that gun? What? Do you want to hear a few comments? If only we had your mic up though. There you go.
All right, I have another one for you, Adrian, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Whose jersey is Adrian wearing?
Ah,
this jersey...
It's almost like you planted it.
Is
That's from Alan on YouTube. That's
is a man
Alan.
Who's been in the news a lot recently.
Adrian's burner account.
Over the last week or so for his comments in reference to a very popular Premier League manager, Liam Rosenier.
Called out last night by Wayne Rooney at the gig.
Yeah. Kevin was.
Does Kevin know
comments. He's not.
I can tell you that Kev listens.
Are we breaking
to our
news to Kev? That's what I'm saying. Kev's on his way into work.
I wasn't going to mention that, Jer, but there you go.
Wayne Rooney's like, what did Wayne Rooney say about him?
Anyways, match worn. We can throw that picture up again.
You get in a flight, you think you can say what you want.
Croke Park. I'm not sure that is exactly Croke Park, but it may be.
It is, yeah.
Croke Park, 2009, first leg of the France game, number 3, era.
Was it Croke Park?
Was it Croke Park? That's actually, now that you've just said it,
I'm going off his
2009.
It's definitely that game.
I think we were back, weren't we?
Era v France.
Oh, 9.
No, it's Croke Park. It's Croke Park.
19th of November, 09.
14 November 2009.
Don't miss there. Match worn jersey, let's say. Could be the second or third jersey, but like, let's not worry about that. And yeah, the great Kevin Caban. I saw there wasn't a lot of love for it in the comments. There was a lot of people sort of... Yeah. Saying it was bottom of the pile of the four.
I have that one for you. So Dennis Ryan says, love the clobber lads. Colin McClear winner here. Then Jair. Then Dara. Then Adrian. Now, after hearing that information, maybe his...
I think Dennis.
Mine was
authentic.
Just fine.
It's pure aesthetic he's going on.
2017.
How much was this? Is that the price on it?
Is it 69 or 99?
To be fair,
is there shop security looking for you? Or
69,
did you get that? Nice. Tags on there. You go to the airport.
Other than it being a match worn jersey, I would actually agree with Dennis.
It's not a great colour. That's not a great.
But no sponsor
green.
Is great.
I'd always associate it with Caban as well. I like that
colour green there. DSN is nice.
Is it a medium?
I don't like that one.
It's a bit skimpy on you.
But give another layer underneath.
Exactly.
Mine's
extra large.
To our colleague Ross Flanagan.
Ross is sorted us out with it.
Ross Flanagan has actually dressed us this morning, really. I mean, like half of the studio here is dressed by Ross. Dressed by Ross is a nice little ring to it.
Forever scented by you lads.
Anything else?
It gets hot in here sometimes.
DSN?
Loads coming in.
Give us the best if you can.
Watching from Melbourne tomorrow, says Hugo Fallon. A lot of lads will be an hour late for work.
What time will it be?
Did you see the lad from Melbourne who was
I did
Stephen Ireland on it.
Crazy.
And I was like, what? Family medical.
Yeah.
We all were like, oh yeah, anybody knows what you're talking about? If you know, you know. And we were like, well, I do know. It's like, was it, had he come first? Anyway, sorry.
Kevin Roberts says, I've never been so excited since 2002. I was only 9 years old and I remember it like it was yesterday.
This is mad,
come on,
isn't
you
it?
Boys in green.
It feels that way. It's kind of crazy to think. Like, we've been to the Euros. You all went to the Euros together. Mm-hmm. You did a whole thing. That was class.
The Holland game in 01, I feel it's similar. That's how I feel about this because I was so excited about that team and Keane's performances. And, you know, we were total underdogs that day. And as the game state went, we were a man down and we should have been beaten. We weren't. And they had like world class players everywhere.
Like that point about the momentum bit of, and we're not sure about where this team is at. And I think that is true. And we'll know a little bit more after tonight. And then when we beat Czechia, we'll know a little bit more after Tuesday night. But it's not entirely true either that like the momentum is still there to a degree in that your man has been banging in goals left, right and centre. And Quiven Keller has been like one of the signings of the summer.
Yeah,
like,
well, I suppose that's what happens in between, isn't it?
In between the lines. Mm. Yeah.
Well, look, you know, there's definite green shoots, except the difficulty after the Thierry Henry handball game, I remember that night being ebullient about the performance and thinking, well, this is what it's going to be like from now on. And it wasn't.
Well,
it wasn't.
Very similar dynamics, obviously, in that like there was a lot of criticism of that team for the way they were playing, and then suddenly the chips were down. They had no option but to go for it, and they went for it hell for leather and proved them to be a different...
The one caveat to that was that they were all aging out at the same time. This group are now aging into their peak years together, like 24 to 30.
Yeah.
For the vast majority of this team is going to be their absolute peak, and that's... That's the majority of them now at the moment. So you would hope, to Roddy's point, that some of them feel like, actually, you know what, I can play lower level Premier League as opposed to lower level Championship. And if five or six of them got into that level of football, that would be a, you know, in the aggregate, a quantum leap forward. Suddenly, instead of being in the 60s in world football, we're in the 30s in world football and we're qualifying as a matter of course for tournaments.
Well, I just hope we're not I hope we haven't seen a desperate team in the best possible sense.
Yeah, but
as opposed to what we're actually going to see going
in
forward.
In that desperation, have they realised that they're actually capable of doing that? Yeah. Or was it simply a question of in that moment something happened? Like, the Portugal performance is actually almost more important than the one that comes after it, because it was controlled and aggressive and, you know, obviously it was a home performance, so it's slightly different. But, like, I don't know, you do feel like we're on the precipice of something great. Yeah. But the thing that tips us over is qualifying for the World Cup and having those extra friendlies that sell out against no-mark teams. They're like, like, it's a massive injection of, you know, more jobs for the FAI.
What's the story with that team, that they go to Armenia and they have a performance like that, and then they perform like they did at home to Portugal, which wasn't like liquid football or anything, but it was a containment of some world-class talent.
So they have a lot of world-class talent.
They have the ability
to do like
both.
You say containment, there was a bit of good bit of fortune in that game as well. You know, they did create some brilliant opportunities, and for whatever reason, there seemed to be a magnetic field around the goal. Not all to do with Caoimhín Kelleher. Like, you know, if the goal was extended about a foot all the way around, we'd have been about 4-2 down.
We do play well against good teams, or we don't concede massively against good teams, except when we got hammered by England and a man sent off.
Well, at halftime, that was grand. You know,
that's the thing. You know, I do.
Where do the Czechs fall in that category?
Look, the difficulty with the Czechs is that we don't know enough about how the new manager is going to set them up and how they're going to respond to that. But, like, I don't know, did you see the interview? Aidan Fitzmaurice did it with a guy who had his leg broken by Kieran Clarke in training at Villa. Villa had signed him for 7 or 8 million, and he looked like he was going to be great. Kieran Clarke breaks his leg in training, and he essentially ends his career. Mm-hmm. He does play on afterwards, but never recovers to the same level again, has not forgiven Clark for it. Really good piece. He was saying that he heard Helgrimsson talk about the bastards in the team, and he was like, we didn't have enough, we don't have enough, you guys will definitely have more. And then he started to go, but actually this guy's a bastard and this guy's a bastard and this guy's a bastard. And I was like, actually, he's talked himself into it, that they will be physically as well as technically, there's going to be a mix of them tonight that, like, to Roddy's point, if we win this, it's going to be grueling last minute. There's Roddy calling now, yeah?
Roddy ringing. What will that be about now? I think that would be about. You better go.
Will we give the audience a clue as to our hat? We'll throw out a few clues as to our half line guest.
It is Kevin Caban, isn't it?
No.
Clinton Morrison.
No.
Andy Lee.
It's less for you than it is for the audience. So I'm going to throw out clue number one now, and we'll give out a number of clues over the next while.
Ray Darcy.
Goalkeeper. I'll leave it there.
Paddy Kenny's coming on.
Obviously you have some information.
I think I know.
Cluxton.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I think I know.
Wayne Henderson.
The Pope.
I can't reveal. It's not the Pope, no.
We wish you well with some lovely messages about your travel arrangements today, Ger. Luke 26788 says, enjoy your direct flight to Prague, Ger. And then someone else on the comments too says, I'll see you on the plane.
See you there.
Rabo, I think it was. And then other people have looked up the flight schedules to Prague today, so you will be watched going through the airport.
Right.
Make sure you say hi to them. What's
Richard's character? Scoops. I have a few scoops. What's Richard's character? The German...
That's not Richard, that's Barry Murphy. No, Scoop Monsters.
Yeah. Is that Barry Murphy?
Yeah, he plays the... Yeah, Gunter.
Gunter, yeah. Yeah. A few scoops?
Is that Barry Murphy? Yes, that's Barry. Yeah. No, it's... we're all about the business.
Really?
Airport pints, as I said yesterday, vastly overrated.
But airplane pints are an entirely different kettle of fish.
On the plane.
I think plane pints are terrible.
You need a private jet to be comfortable.
A 33cl can to make you feel as if you're...
At 8:31 and a half a.m., we wish you well. Safe travels. In the meantime, here's David Wilson speaking to some Irish fans. That's absurd. See you tomorrow.
Sponsored by Central.
Right, lads. We're here outside Sally O'Neill's Irish pub here in Prague with a few lads that have made a fair long journey. Lads, where have you came from today?
Wroclaw. Yeah. Wroclaw, yeah. Poland.
And you flew to Wroclaw, and then how did you get here?
Flew into Wroclaw, and we rented a minibus, and we drove down, nine of us. Drove down, only took about 5 hours.
Not so bad. And I suppose, like, what's the plan of action to get here? Do you have tickets, or what's the crack?
Gosh, we'll see how we go. Hopefully get a few tickets. I have the boots in the bag just in case. Fucking something pulls up.
Yeah, Hamburg will have a few people out tomorrow. What's on the flag here? Tell us the story about this.
It's Leigh Village, Sox FC. We won the Dundalk Winter League there. Man behind the camera, mastermind behind it all.
That man would be Darren Moran, the director of football at Sox FC. Lads, you just won that cup. Who scored the winning goal? Was it what was it? Penalties or what was it?
Penalty shootout, extra time.
He missed the penalty.
I missed the penalty, but Sean Flynn scored the equaliser, 90th minute. Went on, no goals next time. Sudden death, he got the winner.
Right, I suppose that was maybe the main course, but the starter. But the main course tomorrow, Ireland against Czechia. What do we think really of? Do we think we're going to win and have something to look forward to next Tuesday?
Yes, we're going to win 2-1. Nathan Collins header in the 90th minute to win it 2-1.
What makes you so confident?
Just there's a good vibe, good buzz at the minute.
Dave Wilson speaking with his buddies, is it?
I don't know. We'll have to check in later when he's on the show. But
Nathan Collins header.
Yeah, it's quite similar to the Calvin accent, but it's a bit more, I don't know, a bit more pronounced.
What sort of an accent do you have, Derek?
I've been told my accent has been neutralised.
Having lived in Dublin.
When
you moved here first.
Yeah, it would have been, I've been here like 5 years now, so.
There you go, boy.
There you go.
There you go. So you're back live. It's live here on a very, very special Thursday morning edition of Off the Ball Breakfast. It is the 26th of March, and that date has been ingrained in the minds of Irish football fans since that fateful day against Hungary. You're back with Adrian, myself, and DSN, who has a pile of comments to get through here.
Like too many. We want to get to every single one if we can. I got to as many as possible. Van City Shea, I'm on my way back to Vancouver, hoping Fionn McCool's in Toronto Airport will be showing the game. I've emailed them already. Coy big.
Oof. I have a dilemma next week. I'm on annual leave for the week and will be abroad in a uncertain area
for the Tuesday
for consumption of the playoff final,
right,
which we'll be in.
What part of the world?
You'd like to say where you're.
I'll just be abroad.
Are you worried like of getting bothered on your holidays?
No, not where
you're
I'm.
You're not
going.
That famous, Adrian.
Not where I'm going.
Come on, you'd be grand, like. where are you going? Can you tell me with your eyes?
Oh no way!
Yeah. Fuck, you've been there in ages.
The cursing, of course, is good to hear. I hear you have this debate every now and then, and like one of you falling over the other to deny that you're the worst offenders.
Yeah, I don't mind it on a day like this. Like, not too many. Don't take that as a license to continue.
Why do you find it so hard to say you're sorry?
Jesus.
It's clue number two.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Oh.
Body got real emotional there.
Just giving out to
there.
That
was real intense therapy session.
Therapy session.
We could do that.
A, B. Okay. VPN, Adrian, is a suggestion there in the comments.
What's
a VPN for you?
Watch
abroad. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
Cat Herrera suggests that.
Conor Phelan says after the disastrous Kenny Rain, which I think is slightly harsh, and Heimer would probably disagree with that. It's great to see the country so invested in an Irish football match. That is what this is all about, isn't it? People falling back in love with Irish football.
Yeah. We don't know if we're in love yet again, though, is the thing. I think that's fair enough to say.
I think we've pins and needles, as our texter said earlier. We're, what's the word before you fall in love? Infatuated.
Okay.
We're infatuated. That's where we're at. We're not quite
infatuation,
in love.
Infatuation, is that the sequence?
It's like, infatuation is when someone thinks they might be in love, but they're not quite yet.
Infatuation screams more of a stalker, Dara. I'm not going to lie. That's
infatuated. Yeah, you're infatuated by someone is
a stalker.
It's unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I could love the idea of you, Adrian.
Dara's like, hang on a second. I need some self-reflection here. Sorry.
I could love the idea of you.
Okay, but you know not what I mean? You yourself.
Maybe where we're at. If we qualify for the World Cup, then I think we're firmly back in love.
Where's Aidan going? Rabba wants to know.
walking up on stage.
Good, good neat reference.
We're showing the game on a cinema screen in the Art Deco Cinema, Ballymote, County Sligo. First built in 1947.
Wow.
This is how
wow.
big this is, like. This is,
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
This changes everything, doesn't it?
Where are you going to watch the game?
I'm properly at home, because we're back in tomorrow morning. Like, we got to watch this properly.
Well, I'm in the pub.
Are you back in tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's gonna be all over the place.
Nah, he's gonna
all
be
all over the place.
I kind of just want the pub atmosphere. You know what I mean?
See, I just need to watch it at home. Like.
Yeah, you gotta watch. I gotta watch it properly.
I watched a Hungry game at home. Not that I had FOMO, but I was like, ah, that looked fun. Seeing the videos being posted everywhere, I was like, ah, that looks like.
But that was because the way it materialized.
Yeah,
it's good. We'll have different perspectives in the morning, so it's good.
Exactly.
It works out well.
Yeah.
You know what? I either watch it at home, right, or I'd rather be in the thick of it.
Either at the game
or
at home.
Properly over there or at home would be my choice.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And what else we got?
I think it was Ross is in our comments saying that it's a situationship at the minute between ourselves and the Irish national team. Maybe that's it. Maybe
Michael says smitten. I think that's a far better word than infatuated, Dara, because I'm not going to lie, that had you slightly on the stalker scale there.
No, it didn't until you said it. Drain Bamaged said, I'm genuinely surprised by the excitement and joy in the chat. It's wonderful to see. I've never gotten over that World Cup in 2002. So there's some people that aren't fully back on it just yet.
Well, like we're looking at it like it's us against the world. That's how we're looking at it.
Yeah.
Clue number 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Dara.
That was good.
I'm still playing catch up on that one.
Adam O'Neill.
I know the answer.
Yeah.
You know, I know the answer. I think it could have been for the boy.
Yeah,
Adam O'Neill, this is more advice to Matthew, I think. Rocky O'Reilly's have a nice full Irish.
Okay.
Presuming Prague, and that's just not anywhere in the world.
Mm.
They didn't specifically say it's in Prague.
I have to, my hat off respect moment of the day so far goes to Matthew Brennan for being so sprightly. And I know he was saying, oh, Brexit sort me out and all that, but there was zero indication of, what did he say, he was having star pramming?
Star pramming, yeah.
Like, serious respect.
You wouldn't know. He's been up for an hour before he came on.
I enjoyed our pints over there because they have the Steiner things, you know, the paper
glass,
you know, those things. They don't do them here. Why do we do that here? You know what I mean? Shane on YouTube saying, what an intro montage, lads. Literal goosebumps.
Mm.
The Countdown to the biggest game since November 2017, which we referred to earlier. That montage was brilliant, says Alan.
Yeah. Yeah. What else have we got here? Yeah, Edward Freeman agrees, Adrian. That lad looks way too healthy for an Irishman who was in Prague last night.
Mm.
He was
Well, do you know what? There's just that danger of you go on a 2-day stag, you go away on a 2-day stag do, and everybody says, listen, let's not do the cliched thing of going bonkers on night one and ruining the entire weekend. Grand. Well, I tell you what, we'll go for a couple of quiet pints, we'll have a bite to eat, we'll get home and get tucked up in our beds. There's a load more coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll stay fresh for them. And that all makes sense until about 4 o'clock in the morning when you're getting beaten over the head with wearing an old German war hat.
Yeah, we must play that by the end of the show to give context to what we're talking about. Morning to OTB team and viewers. Enjoy the match tonight. Ireland will win 1-0. That's probably the one scoreline I don't see happening.
Yeah, I'd probably be with you there.
I think the Czechs will score.
I do think so.
At some point.
I couldn't swear it again, but that's what I kind of think.
Yeah.
Clue number 4.
The Irish King says, I'm in work and I can't think of anything else. Come on, Ireland.
I know, it's difficult, isn't it? You're just sort of...
Well, it's not difficult for us. Like, that's we get to talk. We have the privilege to talk about it all morning long.
Yeah.
And not be given out to...
Would you stop? The Irish Times front page is about rugby. My God, that's outrageous. I've been looking at that for ages.
Play to your base.
What are they talking about?
Will Leinster benefit from the IRFU managing player minutes? I mean, I'm all for the work of John O'Sullivan and the Irish Times at large, generally speaking, but oh my God.
Yeah, not
that's
the time.
Unbelievable.
Not the time,
is
lads.
It definitely today's paper. Yeah, Thursday. My God, my former Wales fullback Williams retires. Munster set for voluntary redundancies, which we will probably be talking about on any other day because that is quite stark, that story.
Stark.
But other than that, all over the place. And my favourite, like in actual visual this time, is Checky Orlaw, the Irish Sun. That's your papers.
Very good.
Love that from the Sun. Few more comments in here. Conor Phelan again. We knew about Parrott for a long time before he was playing under 20s. It's funny with Parrott because a lot of people have written him off. Like Ferguson was the guy for a long time. and you know, Parra goes to AZ and obviously kicks on, and now he is where he is now. But there was a time where people weren't even thinking about Troy Parrott.
That ship might not have sailed either. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, no, it's like very much a one-horse race at the minute because of what's going on with Evan Ferguson. But like, yeah, it definitely had shades of Bazunu versus Kelleher for a long period of time, where we were entirely uncertain as to.
Mad now, isn't it?
Yeah, in hindsight, but at the time, like, Bazunu was the man. Actually, if we remember,
it was, you know, totally. Yeah,
Aaron Connolly was briefly the man. You know, there was it's a hell of a time. We're watching it yesterday. Festi played in that second half against, yeah, Hungary. You know, it's a lot of people. It's actually a very tough night for. For these players that aren't around. Out the gap at 3 o'clock here, straight to the pub. Come on, Ireland, says Conor 4331. What time is kickoff? Conor Feeden wants to know. Oh. Depends where you are in the world, I suppose. Sure, but yeah, here it's 7:45 PM. Here it's 8:45 PM local time.
Yeah.
What's we got? The MasterChef final is on tonight, by the way.
My mates are on the 11:40 flight, which is the last one to Prague, says Dermot Keenan. I presume he means AM. They're not landing there after the game. Are we excited? Are we getting to the point now? Because I know there's a few anxious heads floating around, but is the excitement building?
Oh yeah, I genuinely have been excited about this since Monday. I wasn't thinking a huge amount about it, and then suddenly the week dawned, and I thought, oof, I never thought it was coming around. But here we are, and I'm wishing away the hours between now and kickoff. Definitely got nerves in the pit of my stomach as we speak.
That's beautiful to feel something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
my leg is like going. You know, that sort of a.
I can see it physically. Mm-hmm. I can see it shaking over
How
there.
How lucky are we? You know,
shaking with joy. Don't worry, there's fixes for that now.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability. Following pharmacist consultation.